Jandana Braja Janaranjana Ja Sodanandana Braja Janaranjana Ja Sodanandana Braja Janaranjana Ja Munajira Banachari Ja Munajira Banachari Ja Munajira Banachari Ja Munajira Banachari Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhajakacharya Astatara Satoshi Shiman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Sri Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas Adigora Bhaktivinda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinath Shamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Mathura Dham ki jai, Navadweep Dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Jagannath Swami ki jai, Jamuna Mai ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Sama Veda Bhaktivinda ki jai. Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Samniti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Desatarane. Hare Krishna. Reading today from Canto 3. We're on chapter 14, which is the same chapter we've been on for a really long time. We're on text 49, but we're on a different section. It's a new theme here for you guys. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and who else? Prabhupada. Why? Because he translated it, and he made his comments. And if we didn't have the translations and the comments, what would we be? Out there, yeah. Jai Srila Prabhupada. By regular attendance on classes of the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, what happens? All that's auspicious in the heart is removed. Yeah, thanks. That's very important. All that's inauspicious, all the dirt in the heart is removed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead is established. as something that can be taken away eventually. Right or wrong? Wrong? You mean it can never be taken away? Yeah, it can never be taken away. The love of God, the little bits that you're doing, can never, the credit you get can never be taken away. Even if there's a little bit of a slowdown here or there or a detour, after you get straightened out, it's all the credit's back there. Okay, so we're on text 49. It's on the board here. Let's see. Alam pata shila daro gunakaro. Alam pata shila daro gunakaro. Ristan paradya vyatito duke hiteshu. Sorry. Krista paradya vyahito duhike teshu. Abhuta shatrur jagata shokaharta. Abhuta shatrur jagata shokaharta. Naidaki kam tapa evo duraja. Alampata shila daro gunakaro. Krista paradya vyatito dukhi teshu. Abhuta shatrur jagata shokaharta. Nagati kam tapam evo duraja. Your turn. Lampata shila daro gunakaro. Paradya vyahito dukiteshu. Adbhuta shatru jagata shokaharta. Naidaki kam tapam evo duraja. Alampata shila daro. Jagata Shokaharta. Alam Pata Shila Daro Gunakaro. Alta Paradya Vyahito Dukiteshu. Alam pata shila daro gunakaro. Krista paradya vyahito dikeshu. Abhuta shatru jagata shokaharta. Naigati kam tapam evo duraja. Alampata. Virtuous. Shiladara. Qualified. Guna akara. Reservoir of all good qualities. Krishta. Jolly. Pararidya. By others' happiness. Vyahita. Distressed. Dukiteshu. In others' unhappiness. Adbhuta Shatru. Without enemies. Jagata. Of all the universe. Shokaharta. Destroyer of lamentation. Naidakitam. Due to the summer sun. Tapa. Distress. Eva. Likened. Udu Rajaha. The moon. And here's Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. And then after we say this translation, I'll explain how we got here, because this is a whole different subject matter from the last time you guys were in class. So here's his Prabhupada's translation. He will be a virtuously qualified reservoir of all good qualities. He will be jolly and happy in others' happiness, distressed in others' distress, and will have no enemies. He will be the destroyer of the lamentation of all the universes, like the pleasant moon after the summer sun. Can you tell who we're talking about here? Yeah, we're obviously, here, I'll read it one more time. He will be a virtuously qualified reservoir of all good qualities. So we're obviously not talking about the demons like we have been previously. Now we're talking about devotees. Yes, you're right, correct, thank you for that. But now we're talking about, so there was, if you remember way back, a few classes back, there was Diti and Kasyapa who had union at an inauspicious time and were about to give birth to twin sons. Can anybody remember who the twin sons of Diti were? That caused yes, Prabhu. Thank you. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So how is it that we can be talking about a devotee right now? Because this is the same story. Narda. They used to be the people who guarded the gates. They were servants of the Lord, yes. And then by the Lord's desire, they took birth in a demoniac form. And Diti was saying, oh no, I don't want my sons to be demons. And Kasyapa said, well, everything we did was at the wrong time, and so we're getting this bad result. No squeaky noises, please, thanks. Everything we did at the wrong time, so there'll be a bad result, but the son of your son, in other words, your grandson will be a devotee. So now we're talking about, do you know yet? Prahlad Maharaj, the grandson of the demons. Now we're talking about them. So now Diti, the grandmother, is feeling better. Well, at least my sons will produce something good by having Prahlad born in their family. And Prahlad will be a devotee of the Lord. So now, can you remember some of the qualities of Prahlad that we read about in the verse? Can you remember? Good, don't move it. Oh, it's there, okay. Nalini. He's happy in other people's happiness. Narda. He's jolly. Some other people besides, oh yeah, Subhadra. He's the reservoir of all good qualities. Yeah. And what, Antu? Yeah, it's compassion, it's distress and other people's distress, yes. Yeah, not only of a few people either, right? The whole world, that's the whole universe, that's a lot of purity, isn't it? So that's some of the effects that Prahlad Maharaj will have on people. So this is what's being described. The character of Prahlad Maharaj is being described now. So here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. And you know, there are a few words in the purport that you're going to have to add to your vocabulary because they're not normally there. So we'll go over the words that are hard to understand just in the purport, the English words that we don't usually use. Okay, here's Prabhupada's purport. Prahlad Maharaj, the exemplary devotee of the Lord, had all the good qualities humanly possible. That's a lot. Although he was the emperor of this world, he was not profligate. What does that mean? We had to look it up. It means that he's not a reckless person. It means that he's not extravagant or wasteful and in the use of resources. He's very, you know, controlled. So he wasn't, and here's another word that's going to come up too here. We'll go to that too. Okay, beginning from his childhood, he was the reservoir of all good qualities. Without enumerating those qualities, what does enumerating mean? That's relatively easy. What does enumerating mean? In the back there? The smarter ones? Not all the way back, but yeah. Middle back? Smarter ones? Enumerating. In your own words, it doesn't have to be a dictionary definition. You're right, it means numbering, it means listing, without listing all his good qualities. I knew you knew it. Thanks for your help. Without enumerating those qualities, it is said here summarily that he was endowed with all good qualities. That is the sign of a pure devotee. The most important characteristic of a pure devotee is that he is not lumpata or licentious. Okay, here's another word, licentious. He's not lumpata. Here we go back to the Sanskrit word. The very first word in the verse was alumpata, which means virtuous. So lumpata means the opposite of virtuous. Nalini, you want to give it a shot? No? Okay. It sounds a little, the meaning is similar to the sound, licentious, sensuous. He wasn't like grossly sensuous. He was controlled. He wasn't a modern day person. Sorry. Okay. And another quality is that he was always eager to mitigate the miseries of suffering humanity. Now here's an interesting statement. Listen to this. The most obnoxious misery. Isn't that an interesting combination of words, right? It's an obnoxious misery of a living entity is what? Yes, Antu? Thanks for reading that. Good. Forgetfulness of Krishna. The most obnoxious misery, the most extremely unpleasant, the most unpleasant thing that the person does is in the material world is their forgetfulness of Krishna. A pure devotee, therefore, always tries to evoke everyone's Krishna consciousness. Evoke means to wake it up, like sometimes, anyway. Evoke people's Krishna consciousness. This is, here's another one, panacea. There's a lot of words here today, a lot of vocabulary words. This is the panacea for all miseries. Panacea. Hang in there. I would call on you, but then no one else is going to ever raise their hand. Panacea. Yes, Prabhu. It's like the cure, a cure. And it's a general cure that helps more than just one thing. Thank you. It's a solution. Panacea means a solution or remedy for all difficult things or diseases. So what's the panacea? Yeah, good. Remembering Krishna. In other words, getting rid of our, how did Prabhupada describe it? Our obnoxious misery or forgetfulness of Krishna. The panacea, the cure for that, is to try to remember Krishna. So thanks for your attempts in trying to remember Krishna. You know, and thanks for your attempts to try to remind others to think about Krishna. That's the quality of a pure devotee. So I'm just going to read the verse one more time. He will be, and this is Prahlad Maharaj, describing Prahlad Maharaj. He will be a virtuously qualified reservoir of all good qualities. He will be jolly and happy in others' happiness, distressed in others' distress, and will have no enemies. He will be a destroyer of the lamentation of all the universes, like the pleasant moon after the summer sun. So we're already getting the effects of the summer sun every now and then. Yesterday and today it was a little cooler, but already it went from cold weather to blazing hot weather just in like 4 days. And so you can imagine what's coming along in the next few months of summer in Florida. But after a hot day in the sun, in a blazing hot sun, what was described here was relief from that? Yes. The moon, the evening moon, when the full moon comes out and cools everything down. So Prahlad Maharaj was compared like that. He was a reservoir of all good qualities. So in Nectar of Devotion, the very first chapter of Nectar of Devotion gives a list of the qualifications of the qualities of pure devotional service. And there's six characteristics of the qualities of pure devotional service. And the first one is, pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material miseries. So again, that comes under the statement that Srila Prabhupada said that this is the panacea, this is the cure for the forgetfulness by engaging in devotional service and bringing it to pure, more and more pure levels of our consciousness and our actions, then that brings relief from all material distresses. Now, sometimes we think that means, oh, I won't experience, there won't be any distress in my life if I surrender to Krishna. We think that. Some of us used to think that. Somebody's shaking their head, but that's an experienced person. But some of us used to think that if I surrender to Krishna, I won't have any troubles in my life. Well, it's not exactly the way things go. But what it means is that the troubles in our life that we experience, because we'll all experience different things, won't affect us so disastrously as they did without knowledge of Krishna. So can you think of some examples from the scriptures, some examples of famous personalities that are mentioned in the scriptures that have had distress in their life but didn't accept it as the same distress? Hari Govinda. Prahlad Maharaj, what was his problems? He was, yeah. He was thrown in a fire. So many things. And how did he react? He just kept thinking of Krishna and praying to Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. Antu. A person. Haridas Thakur. Yeah, good. Subhadra. Judd Bart. You want to give that a quick explanation on Judd Bart's distress? He had some issues, even though he was born in a... I'm just repeating for the... Yeah, okay. He had some issues, and then what happened? And his family didn't accept him, and he just wandered around, and he was totally depressed. No. You're supposed to say no to that. Okay. Yeah, he had challenges in his life, but because he actually had faith and love for Krishna and was developing more and more love and faith for Krishna, then the distresses were just insignificant. In other words, if your pleasure in life is higher, here's a hint from Bhagavad Gita, if your pleasure in life is higher, then the little distresses aren't so bothersome. Can anyone think of the Sanskrit term for that? Higher pleasure, higher taste. If one develops a higher taste, it's easy to give up the lower taste. Param dristva nivartante. And that's how it is. That's what's recommended for devotees. That even though there are challenges and difficulties in life, even though they are there, if we put our focus on trying to serve Krishna to the best of our ability, trying to remember Krishna, then even though there are challenges in our life, they will not affect us in the same way because we have a higher taste. Narda, who would you like to add? Prabhupada, he had so many challenges in his life, didn't he? But he just kept going because why? Because he was attached to following the instructions of his spiritual master. And the difficulties that he experienced, he accepted them as mercy that actually increased his taste for serving Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Any distress in the course of following my spiritual master, I'll accept as mercy. Have you ever noticed in life already yet? Have you ever noticed that attitude makes a whole lot of difference in your life? You know, and an attitude is just an inner button. You can switch it around if you're, you know, I'm going to say smart enough, but if you're talented enough or aware, how about that word, aware? If you're aware enough, you can switch it around. Just like you can think anything is boring and a challenge and this and that and this and that. But if you just think, oh, what can I learn from this situation? What can I get from this? How can I, you know, improve myself from this situation? How can I change my attitude and not be miserable but be happy by doing it? And that's just a little inner switch. It's not even necessarily an outer switch, you know. And it changes the whole outlook on life. Anyway, so Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the things that Srimad Bhagavatam is giving for us is how to change our attitude, how to change our most obnoxious misery. Our obnoxious misery of forgetfulness of Krishna means we're putting ourselves in the center of our life. What makes me happy? I, me, and mine. And if I'm not happy, then everyone's going to know about it. But if I put Krishna at the center, and if I put his pleasure, and I try to remember what pleases him, then everything takes a different turn, a different flavor, a different taste. And sometimes it just seems like a theory. Oh yeah, they always say those things. But if you try it in your life and you experience it one or two times, and you experience it three or four times, then you'll want to go to that. That'll be a go-to place when there's challenges. So back to Nectar of Devotion and those six characteristics of pure devotional service, because what we're talking here is about Prahlad's, how he exhibited those characteristics of pure devotional service. And then the second one is that pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. And that's very interesting too, because the beginning of all auspiciousness means that there might be other things that make you happy in life, et cetera, et cetera, but they don't produce good results. Not everything produces good results. But devotional service, even a small attempt at devotional service, produces a good result. And one of those results is that you get the opportunity to get some more devotional service in there. And that helps build your stockpile of good results and of a loving attitude towards Krishna. So it's the beginning of all auspiciousness. And another characteristic of pure devotional service that was exemplified by Prahlad Maharaj especially, was pure devotional service automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. So because there's transcendental, you're transcending, you're going above the material pleasure. So it's higher than material pleasure. So therefore, material pleasure has its beginning and its end, and it's who knows what happens in the middle of material pleasure. But transcendental pleasure means above that, it has no beginning, it has no end, although sometimes we can tune into it better than others, but still. So it's a pleasure that's above the temporary happiness and distress of the material world. But there's another caveat about pure devotional service. Number four is that pure devotional service is very rarely achieved. Pure devotional service is rarely achieved. Now, how can we understand that? How do you understand that in this day and age when there's so many devotees going out and distributing prasadam and distributing books and chanting at Rathyatras all over Florida and all over the world, and still pure devotional service is rarely achieved? Can anyone help explain that? Yeah, it's a lot. It's Pure devotional service, if you consider the number of people in the world. Do you guys know the number of people in the world? What's the current population?
7 billion.
7 billion, thanks. So if there's 7 billion people in the world, and there's how many devotees in the world? How many aspiring devotees? Very few. A million. The proportion is little. So anyway, have a great day. Thanks for coming. So pure devotional, so be a little quiet on your way out, okay? Because there are other people that are still here, and there's someone who's going to forget what you're saying. Pure devotional service is rarely achieved because the amount of souls in the world, is the number, you can't, ashankata, you can't even count the number of souls. And those souls that are trying to attempt devotional service are very rare. It's rarely achieved. And another characteristic, the fifth one, those into pure devotional service deride even the conception of liberation. So some people who are into spiritual life are into spiritual life because they want to become liberated from the miseries of material existence, which is a good try. It's a good thing to aspire for. But beyond being liberated for oneself is to develop love of Krishna. Because being liberated from material existence usually infers that I want my suffering to end. I want to be free from the suffering. But someone who's got a taste, even a small taste for pure devotional service, can see that actually by performing or by attempting to perform pure devotional service, not only will I become happy, but the whole world has the possibility to become happy, by reaching the perfection of love for Krishna and getting out of the cycle of our repeated cycle of birth, growth, old age, disease, and then birth, old age, growth, disease, and death, over and over. That cycle goes around and around and around. And if you just want to get free from that cycle, okay, then one can go to the state of liberation in the Brahma Jyoti for some time where everything is all blissful. And then, Aruyat Krichena Param Padam Tada, if there's no taste or no shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then one falls down even from that conception. But somebody in the level of pure devotional service has a happiness, they're experiencing a happiness that's even greater than the happiness derived in the Brahma Jyoti, in Brahmananda. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that he compares the happiness of Brahmananda, where it's just life is full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He compares that happiness to a drop of water, compared to the ocean of happiness in devotional service. So in our last qualification or characteristic, the last characteristic that's listed in Nectar Devotion of pure devotional service, pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna. So that's so interesting when you think of that, because Krishna's the supreme enjoyer, the supreme all, he's full in himself, but he has his parts and parcels, living entities, and he's given them the chance. Do you want to serve me or you don't? If you want to serve me, stand over here, and if you don't want to serve me, you can go over here. You can go to the material world and try that cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease, and try it on for size, see how that fits, see how you like it, see how you can progress in that cycle. Or you can execute or attempt to execute pure devotional service. And Krishna, even though he is the supremely independent, all-merciful, supreme personality of Godhead, he's attracted by the devotee's love for him. And that perfectly exemplifies Prahlad Maharaj. Because Prahlad Maharaj, I think it was Narada who was saying, or when one of the kids was saying that Prahlad Maharaj, when, oh, it was Hari Govinda. Hari Govinda, when he was saying that Prahlad Maharaj, when he was put in a pot of boiling oil, it wasn't that he was praying. He wasn't praying, oh, Krishna, save me, stop my miseries. He wasn't even thinking of that. He was thinking, oh, my Lord is so kind. And Krishna was attracted to that love, and therefore he did so much to mitigate Prahlad's suffering from Hiranyakashipu and by appearing in his fierce form of Nrisingadev to liberate Nrisingadev and simultaneously give pleasure to Prahlad by his remembrance. Sheesh, Hare Krishna. So these are some of the characteristics of pure devotional service which Prahlad Maharaj exemplified. And if there's any, thank you. If there's any question of discussion or correction, please go right ahead. Das, do you have anything you want to add? Somehow or other, I thought you might.
Somehow or other. Oh, now we're glorifying Sri Prahlad Maharaj, and there's three more shlokas to go in this chapter. Some interesting words in the Sanskrit here. Abhuta Shatru. This is actually similar to the famous verse glorifying Maharaj Yudhisthira, Ajata Shatru.
Uh-huh.
His enemy was never born. Abhuta and Ajata, same meaning. Ajata Shatru, Abhuta Shatru. This Alampata, virtuousness. This word Lampat is very commonly used in the Sanskrit literature to describe Sri Krishna in an unfavorable light. That he's not very chaste to Sri Radha, that his eyes wander, and his thoughts wander. So it's even in the Shikshastakam. What is that? Alampato matprananathas tu sevana paraha.
Even though he's a alampata, I'll still love him.
Yes, alampata. In the material world, it's actually glorified that men should be alampata. They're respected and honored when they're. Their eyes wander, they catcall a woman on the street, and all the other men are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's just disgusting how they've perverted the whole thing. But now Prahlad Maharaj is being glorified, and it seems we need to keep an English dictionary handy when we're reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Look at all these words. Prolificate?
I had to look it up myself.
What is that word? We don't. And obnoxious, and panacea. Obnoxious, the most obnoxious misery is forgetfulness of Krishna.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have just said the greatest misery, but it's much worse than that.
Right.
It's obnoxious. What does obnoxious mean? It means like totally disgusting. It means
extremely
absolutely
unpleasant.
Repulsive, standing out as being a terrible aberration.
Yeah.
The most obnoxious. I'm going to remember that all day.
And nobody can have an attitude like that. That it's an obnoxious aberration, unless they have such a pure higher taste for devotional service. You know what I mean? Because everyone thinks, oh, this is normal. You know, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to add that. Go ahead.
It's a discussion. Finally, since we're glorifying Prahlad Maharaj now, I just thought I'd mention something from the Vedic literature. There's a shastra that Prabhupada quotes in his books called Yoga Vashishta. We just had Ram Nomi. So Yoga Vashishta is a conversation, questions and answers of Lord Ramachandra with his guru, Vashishta. Now, the Yoga Vashishta, it's really huge. It's like tens of thousands of shlokas bigger than the Bhagavatam. So what sages have done over the millennia is they've selected a selection. So the Brihad Yoga Vashishta is the whole big thing. You can't even fit it in one book. So they've taken out essential shlokas and called it the Laghu Yoga Vishishta, light. But that's still too big. It's still thousands of shlokas. So sages have taken extracts from that and called it Yoga Vishishta Sar.
Mm.
So one interesting thing,
the
essence of Yoga Vishishta. So one interesting thing in the Yoga Vishishta is that after Lord Nrisingadev kills Hiranyakashipu, there's lots of adventures of Prahlad Maharaj on his planet. Just chapter after chapter after chapter of Prahlad Maharaj's activities. So anybody wants to research Prahlad Maharaj, look in the Yoga Vashishta.
Thanks.
You'll find lots of interesting stories.
Thanks for that. Thanks. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions? We're Hemavati Ji.
You gave the example of Pran Govinda, and I don't understand it. Why Prahlad, he was happy to be thrown in the oil, the hot oil.
I didn't mean to say that he was happy to be thrown in the hot oil, but he wasn't freaked out to be thrown in the hot oil. He was meditating on the Supreme Lord. He wasn't praying for his deliverance. He was just praying to remember the Lord. Is that still confusing?
Okay, so when he saw the situation, he was just, okay, let me take shelter of the Supreme Lord?
Yeah, more or less.
Okay, not that he was happy, he was taking shelter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And therefore, what he felt from, just like someone with some, okay, because he had transcendental knowledge, he wasn't distressed by that circumstance, although it was very extreme. We're not minimizing it. It was extreme, an extreme situation. But because he had transcendental knowledge, and not just theoretical, gyan, vigyan, but he had actual love for the Supreme Lord. So he realized nothing happens without, the sanction and plan of the Lord. And therefore there's, some higher point.
So let me embrace it without fear.
Yeah.
Okay. Because of his confidence that the Lord knows, I trust you. Hare Krishna.
Wow. Yeah, I'm just rereading this sentence. The most obnoxious misery of a living entity is his forgetfulness of Krishna.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it shows Prabhupada's level. I see level of love for Krishna, how he can, and compassion.
Yeah.
Misery. It's an obnoxious misery. Such a, obstacle to one's ability to.
Also pointing out, is all here in the material world, how do we describe it? It's called a struggle for survival. It's a struggle for survival, and some little pleasure we're considering is happiness. And how does Prabhupada explain that? That's relief from all the other miseries, so when it's not so miserable, we consider that it's happy. But what are we missing out on? That not just the pleasure of liberation, Brahmananda, relief from misery, but the pleasure of pure devotional service, Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam, a pleasure that's ever increasing. Mm-hmm. It's not stagnant, it's not boring after a while. It's ever increasing, unlimitedly increasing pleasure. That's what they're missing out on. Therefore, that forgetfulness of Krishna is obnoxious. Because it's the source of all our miseries and repeated unlimited miseries. It's an obnoxious misery. It's amazing, isn't it? It's quite powerful.
Really? It came from so deep in Prabhupada. That moved him to go through what he went through
for
the entire universe.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, how Prabhupada has the way of saying things that hook us in. Because it's not that we haven't heard that the material world is miserable. It's not like our first time we've heard this. But sometimes he phrases it in a different way or gives a different explanation, and or with the process of purification that we're undergoing, et cetera, we're understanding it a drop deeper. Sri Gaurangiji, did you have something to add?
Just adding to that, I was thinking forgetfulness of Krishna leads us to do obnoxious things.
Yeah, true. Totally true. And the thing, too, and then taking it in another way, Krishna's providing everything. Even here in the material world, he's providing the air and the water and the this and the that and the this and the that and the this and the that. And we've turned our back on him and said, God doesn't exist or, whatever. Obnoxious. Okay. I hope you have a wonderful day and you're not meditating on obnoxious things. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and remembrance of Sri Krishna and Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet.